This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 370 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. Joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Sorry, I'm down to 2% battery. If I run out, forgive
Yeah.
I do have to announce, though, this is my last episode.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
Well, it's after the Flash one last week.
Yeah.
Several people said they got something useful out of it.
Oh, so you're going out on a high.
You're having a big high, dude.
Nice.
Quit watch your marginally head, I think.
I was thinking that. As I was editing it, I was thinking this is going to be a popular episode. Yes, a popular episode. Because we not just talking about crap we found on the web, but we're actually discussing, you know, photography techniques, and I thought that was great. And
somebody might actually get some value out of it.
Yeah.
See, the problem is, anyone who is looking for value has already given up long ago. I mean, the people still listening to this podcast, their expectations are low before they even get into the episode. It's not like someone's joining and go, I'll listen to 4 or 5 more episodes and see if things pick up. If you're here,
you know what you're in for.
You're as silly as us two, quite frankly, and you're welcome.
How's your week been?
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing at all. It's been school holidays.
Right.
Been away for a couple of days up the countryside with the kids. My
right.
wife's been away for a week, so.
Oh, okay.
Been on daddy daycare duty all day, but I had a slight stirring of effort today and did a bit of work.
Oh, okay.
Good solid 47, 48 minutes. not in a row, of course. I took a break. actually got a few things done today because the kids had a sleepover at Nana's last night. The wife was away at the house to myself and the cats.
Cool.
The cats are a bit concerned because they didn't have anyone else to sleep on. So I woke up with both cats. I was lying on my side and both cats sleeping on my side. And they're big cats. They were just worse. It's like, this is desperate stakes, guys. So my week's been okay. I did in my burst of activity,
get
in touch with the very lovely David Marland, one of those said listeners who has low expectations.
Yeah.
Because Dave's helping me organise my next CPW weekend event.
Right. Is this a psychotic break?
The psychotic break is finally announced. It's finally got dates.
Awesome.
Next week we go up and just finalise things. But we're going to start off, I'm going to give you a few early sneak previews.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be up in the city of Ararat, up in about 2 hours southwest of Melbourne. And
Southwest of Melbourne, you're going to be in the ocean.
But it's more west than south.
Okay,
obviously. It might be northwest, westish.
Pretty sure that's what I said about 30 seconds ago.
Left. Oh, I don't know these things. I don't know, Arthur. Depends on which hemisphere you're in.
Okay.
Does that work?
If you think so. Tell us. Forget about where it is. Tell us about the shoot.
Ararat has it's a beautiful old goldfields town.
Yeah.
So they have lots of cool old buildings. But its two main attractions are the Aradale Mental Asylum that's been abandoned and closed down for many, many years.
Right.
And the old Bluestone Jail.
Oh, wow.
Now, the lovely Dave Marland has got us into the mental asylum exclusively.
Wow.
And to go into areas that the public don't go to.
Yeah, right.
To do our photo shoots.
Nice.
What I'm trying to organise, it's not confirmed yet, but trying to organise. So it's a Friday to Sunday event.
Right.
Everyone sort of arrives there Friday night. We do all day Saturday shooting. Most of Sunday shooting finishes about 3 o'clock. People head home, so they're home in time for before the weekend ends kind of thing.
Right.
But on the Friday night, I'm trying to organise a ghost tour around this island.
Wow.
Just to kick off the psychotic break, because I love to name my weekends.
I think that's a great name for a weekend.
It's a great name. It's a psychotic break, especially in a mental asylum. But so you get to go around the asylum, learn a bit of the history, get a bit of a feel for the place before you go in the next day to photograph it.
Yeah, right.
And to me, that lends so much more weight to the place you're photographing and the importance and, you know, the feel for the images you're going to get, yep, rather than just another old building.
Yeah,
you know, yep, having some of that understanding of what's going on. So I did this in Philadelphia, in the Eastern State Penitentiary a few years ago.
Yep.
Which is majority of it is decrepit and falling down, yep, and but there's an area that's preserved. And when you do the tour of the preserved area, you learn so much about the prison that when you go into the decrepit areas, it's like, oh wow, you have this more of a feel and a more of an understanding of the place and how to photograph it.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I'm trying to emulate there.
Nice.
So we're going to be shooting in there. I'm hoping to do at least one, possibly two shoots there.
Right.
Yeah, two full-on, yeah, several-hour-long shoots.
And what sort of model and look are you going
for?
Well,
I'm looking deranged, obviously.
Yeah, right.
And
you need to get a straitjacket, yeah.
Exactly, straitjackets. but I'm umming and ahhing about getting body paint up there and doing some seriously creative, psychotic-looking stuff. I don't know. We'll see. That's expensive and time-consuming, so yeah, we'll have to see if that works out. But he's also got access to this old junkyard, which is fabulous. This guy's property was full of old vehicles and all sorts of stuff, all rusting out in his fields.
Nice.
Which would be fabulous for model shoots.
Yeah.
And lots of cool old buildings. We might possibly get into the jail to do a shoot. There's another area which we may get into, which we can, will be really cool, but it's not confirmed yet, so I don't want to talk about that one and jinx myself. but if it all comes together, if all the plans I have in mind come together, it's probably going to be the best weekend event CPW's ever done.
Right. And when is this?
When? September 8 to 10.
Nice.
So it's a little ways away. But
I'm putting that one in the diary.
So it's interesting. I never realised how handsome I was, Bruce. Because I put a...
You're not the only one.
I put a call out on Facebook today for expressions of interest for the weekend. I like to do this. I like to put a teaser out there, get people who, yeah, I want to come along. I want first access to refusal, basically.
Right.
And that gives me a marketing list to send to as soon as the event's actually done.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's only 8 places for this weekend.
Right.
I've had 12 people apply so far, and they're all women's.
Wow.
So, I mean, how handsome am I? Yeah. Or how the other thought was how non-threatening, maybe. Go either way.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to that. So that's a big thing I've planned this week. So
nice.
How's your week been? I saw you doing some audio stuff with some people I've never heard of that you were excited about.
Yes. Yeah, I had an acoustic session this morning with an up-and-coming singer. He goes by the name Stanage, S-T-A-N-A-J, which is actually his surname. His first name is Albert.
There's no Barnsey.
No, he's not.
I mean, there's a name. Stanage. It's not going to work, is it?
He's from Albania.
We don't hold that against him.
No.
So is he up and coming in Australia or is he up and coming in Albania?
Well, he's up and coming in the US.
Oh, of course.
Because he's been... sort of discovered by Drake, if that means anything to you.
The coffee cakes?
No.
Drake Coffee Cake Company.
So
famous Seinfeld episode.
I don't know that
one. The Drake Coffee
Cake. No, don't remember that
episode.
Huh. Anyway, so, yeah, Drake has got very high opinions of this guy, and, yeah, he came in today to do this acoustic session, and... The crowd that brought in what they call the back line, which is, you know, all of the musical instruments and the stands and everything, and we set all that up before the artist arrives in the studio. We got all that set up. This guy walks in with his guitarist. He sits down at his keyboard. His guitarist picks up his guitar. They seriously noodled for about 30 seconds and went, okay, yep, we're good. That mix sounds great in the headphones. I hit record and boom, one take. Straight out, no second takes, no false starts, nothing.
That hence the one take, because if there's false starts and second takes,
exactly,
it wouldn't be okay. Oh, you're just
you're sharp, mate. Like, you're on. You are sharp as
I could work in this industry.
Sharp as a spoon. Yeah, so no, it was good. It was really good. He was very talented, and yeah, it was a great joy to work with him. So
you love that, eh? You love that ultra professionalism.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Very cool.
Then I come and do this podcast with you.
Yeah, I know. It's all down.
But I've had my I've had my camera out this week.
Really?
Yes. This might sound really random, but I love shooting textures.
Oh, no, that sounds about right for you. RFY.
Yeah. What?
RFY, right for you.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway.
There's a saying down here. In my wife used to work in a particular hospital down in a city we won't mention called Geelong.
Right.
And they had a code on their files often, NFC.
Right.
And my wife asked, "Is normal for Colac, which is the next small town down?" Right. Normal for, so it's the NFB, normal for Bruce. Right. Shooting textures. And what aim? What was your point? What's your end goal?
Okay, if you have a look at the new banner artwork for Shutters Inc.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Like, so I love getting textures and overlaying them and changing
opacities. So when are you going to do the new one?
Not for a while yet. First one lasted us 12 years.
Yeah, that wasn't a good idea, was it?
So anyway, so I've been shooting a couple of textures. So
good.
Anyway.
I think you should put them on. I think you should create a nice new logo and put them on there. Can't take that long, surely. It's only like 2 minutes worth of work, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. 2 minutes, that's it.
So you should knock up about 30 or 40 of them. Change it every week.
Yeah.
It'll show the Facebook page having some activity. At least updating something.
The on-the-go hub that I bought off eBay last fortnight, and I mentioned last week that I'd received it just before we started recording. I'd had a play with it, had mixed results. I ended up doing more testing with it over the weekend, last weekend, and what I came to discover was that although it was a hub, you know, with multiple ports, my tablet would only see one device at a time that was attached to it. So I went to eBay to leave the feedback, and I noticed that the default button when you go to your My eBay page, on items that you've recently purchased, the default button is Request a Refund. And I thought, oh, maybe I can request a refund. So I hit the button.
It's fairly apt, you'd have to think.
Yeah. And so I sent a message to the seller and I said, look, really sorry. I had great hopes for this, but this is what's happened. It'll only see one device at a time. I told him what device I had. And he wrote back and he said, mate, not a problem. He said, should have worked, but, you know, sometimes these things happen.
Should have, would have, could have.
Yeah, he said, just send it back. He said, I'll check the unit out when it arrives back, and, you know, once I've checked it out and it's all good, I'll refund the money. So
No, that's no good. He should check it out and realize it's all bad and refund the money. Yeah. He checks it out and realize it's all good and refund the money. Okay, there's nothing wrong with it.
So I'm awaiting on a refund of my massive investment of $15, which hopefully will come through in the next few days.
I was surprised even by the six. I did that with a little MP3 player for my youngest.
Oh yeah,
12 months or so ago. It was like something about $15, and it held a charge for about 3 minutes and stopped working.
Oh, what?
So I emailed then. Sorry, I was to send you a new one. Bang, no questions. Because for $15, it's just not worth their effort.
Yeah,
to fiddle around.
Yeah,
and test it and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, just, right.
Yeah, it's a new one. Bang. Yeah. That one charged for about 4 minutes.
And after that, you gave up.
I figured the $7.92 MP3 player, whatever it was, maybe I need to invest over into I don't know,
double figures,
into the teens, right, before you get quality.
Yeah, so anyway.
A couple of questions about our new banner.
Oh yeah.
One, why did you use a font for Shutters Inc. that you can't read? It looks like Shutters Inc., which is not quite so complimentary.
You're the first person to say that. I'd not noticed that it looked like an A. I thought it looked like a U, but I'm just loading the.
I'm not wearing my reading glasses, but there's a distinct.
Oh, I see.
It's like shatter sinks.
Okay, if you think so.
And I want to know who voted and made us the world's most loved photography podcast.
Oh, we've been the world's best loved photography podcast for about 3 years.
Yeah, but who voted for that?
Me. Sample size
you
of
should
one.
Have world's best loved photography podcast, little asterisk.
No.
Teeny sample size.
No, to hell with that. 100% of people surveyed said we were the world's best love photography podcast.
I thought so. So did my wife.
Yes, that's right. It's interesting, actually. I was having a conversation on one of the podcasting groups on Facebook through the week. And I was, I made mention of the fact that this podcast has now been going for about 12 years, and someone went, wow, that's amazing, because, I was pretty early getting into podcasting. And I said, the current tagline is the world's best love photography podcast. I said, I could probably get away with changing it to the world's longest running photography podcast, because I don't know how many other photography podcasts that were around back then are still going. There may be some. I don't know. I haven't researched.
If you don't know, you can't really claim it, can you?
No, that's right.
Well, you could, and you have a tagline such as, you could do worse. Or what else are you going to do with your time? Perfect for toilets.
What?
If you're in the loo for a while, you need to pass some time. Right. Yeah, just have just have a little player in your loo, and then you just every time you pop in, you listen to a couple of minutes extra. I know, something gives me the shh anyway.
Gold. There was a great collection of images that I saw through the week, and this was these photoshopped animals will make you feeling different. I think it was, will leave you feeling different or will make you feel different was what they were intending. But these are great bits of Photoshop work where faces of one animal have been attached to the bodies of other animals. And I liked it. I just thought it was clever stuff, clever Photoshop work. That link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to check it out. The one story that I did see, and I was very surprised that Adam didn't include this in any of the stuff that he posted. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Good for you. Because
so my tweet's down to two now, thanks to you.
Right. Because I've seen this around and about quite a few places over the last couple of days, and it's the story about the New York Times doubling the rate of pay for their photographers, which is kind of an unusual twist of events. In this day and age.
But see, I think the, if I can find the salient paragraph, the big reason why they decided to do this is that they found that a lot of their articles are too much text heavy and not enough photos.
Right.
And the point was because they sacked all their photographers not that long ago. I don't know, you get rid of your photographers and then you go, well, gee, you know what's missing in this? Photos.
Yeah.
And, of course, for pay they were doing, $200 a day, no photographer worth their salt's going to work for that. You can't afford to work for that.
No.
Yeah, because you'd have to travel, who knows what else involved to get that. So I thought it was kind of ironic.
Yeah.
So, look, whilst it is good that they're kicking in some extra dollars, whoever was running the media at the time, I think there's been a fair shift, they created the problem that's they're now trying to fix.
Yeah.
They're going back to like the olden days, like 100-odd years ago, where photography was starting to become mainstream. If we put more photos in the paper, more people will buy them.
Yeah. And well, then, I was never
going to pay the photographers. Oh, can you stop putting photos in the
I was just about to say, like only, six episodes ago, we had the story about this animated GIF of all the covers of the New York Times from the time they started when it was 100% text all the way through to the modern day. And if anything has been obvious, that this institution that is the New York Times has been massively successful as a media outlet for well over 100 years. And the one thing that is
news around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that GIF, just showed how much of an influence photography had on the success of that paper over time. So you kind of go, at what point did someone think having photos in it was a bad idea?
Well, no one thought that No one thought that part through. No. Paying these photographers all this money, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because we've got dwindling circulation and dwindling advertising revenue. What can we cut? Oh, look, we're paying that guy that much money to take a photo? Oh, well, let's get the reporter to do it with his phone whilst he's there.
Yes.
And that sort of became the norm, you know. But funny enough, those photos weren't usable, so it just became text.
Yeah. I need to shoot something. I don't think I need my feet. I'll shoot them. anyway. Sorry, it took a while, didn't it? Anyway.
It did.
Anyway, there'll be a couple of links in the show notes for anyone that wants to follow that story if they haven't already caught up with it. And another one that I saw was The Death of Digital Photography as We Know It, which I thought was an interesting headline. And this was on petapixel.com. And there were a few quotes that I pulled from this. I didn't get to read the entire article, but there were a few points that jumped out at me. One was, manufacturers need significant innovation in order to stand out, and yet innovation is exactly what the industry is currently lacking, which I don't think is news to anybody.
Yeah.
The next one was, but if you already own a camera from the past half decade, you probably won't feel any urge or need to upgrade, which I would agree with.
Which is the same problem Apple's got with iPads.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, people are so happy with the one from three generations ago.
Yeah.
That they're simply not updating it.
That's right. And the third one, which I thought was really interesting, was a 2015 survey by UK manufacturer Ilford Photo. Now, I assume they're affiliated with the paper, but I don't know for sure.
They could be affiliated with the film.
Yeah, or
not just the paper.
Film and the paper, yeah.
Or okay. Both, yeah, good point. They could be, they have cross affiliations.
Found that
they might even be linked with the chemicals.
Are you just trying to derail this?
Pretty much.
Doing a good job, mate. Thanks. Doing a good job. A 2015 survey by UK manufacturer Ilford Photo found that 30% of film users, right? 30% of film users were under 35 years of age, and 60%.
What kind of numbers? Is it the same as the people who surveyed for the World's Best Photography podcast?
Possibly.
30% of the one person.
And 60% of people shooting film had only started using the medium in the last 5 years.
Yeah, but we know why.
Why?
Delayed gratification.
Okay.
Young people don't know what it's like to wait for something.
No, they don't.
Film makes them wait.
Yeah.
Vinyl makes them get up and or listen to an entire side of a track of an album, or possibly both sides.
Yes.
they have to put some effort in, and it's not easy to just skip and jump and jump and jump to the next song.
Yeah.
All these things that have these little bits of delayed gratification are appealing to the young generations because it's not something they've been used to in their life.
See, that's the bit I struggle with. Like, I understand what you're saying about delayed gratification and why that's great, but it strikes me as odd that a generation that's grown up without it would actively embrace it.
It's novel. It's different.
Yeah.
They're all looking for different. They're all looking for an experience, remember?
Yeah.
They're an experiential society now.
Yep.
So what this is an experience, and that sense of anticipation, which they don't have. The only anticipation is when they're waiting for the new Star Wars movie to come out or whatever. And they go, that's what my granddad used to go see when it first came out in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Yeah, but that's about – and even then they go and find pirate copies before they're released anyway.
Yeah.
So that whole concept – to me, there's a lot of that. A lot of the pleasure is this, A, the tactileness of it.
Yep.
The print,
mm-hmm.
You know, the negative. And the delay, and also I think the very mechanicalness, the not being able to see the image when they take the photo.
Yeah,
yeah. All the stuff that teases them and holds out the reward for a period of time, which could take them months if they take a while to finish the roll of film.
Yeah,
it's all part of the delicious process of having to wait.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think this is my own personal hypothesis, but I think there's a lot to it.
Yeah, right.
You know, when I watch how young people shoot, and when I talk to them, well, why are you shooting film? Oh, and it's always the crap. Oh, it's the feel. Rubbish. You don't know what feel is. Yeah, you know? It's not about the feel. Yeah. You know? It's more authentic than what? Than the thing you've always grown up with? That's authentic because that's what you've always had.
Yeah.
Digital's what you've always had. That is authentic to you. Yeah. This isn't authentic. This is alternative. Yeah. I also say I think there's a fair degree of pretension in the whole thing too.
Right.
But I saw a photograph today of some white dude, yeah, in the middle of some...
not being racist.
That's some white dude, and he was wearing all white, and he had white hair. Yeah, he was right. A white dude.
Okay.
White hair, white skin, white clothing. He was a white dude. Right. Yeah, but he was sitting doing a yoga om position, crossed legs, sitting in the middle of like Times Square, the Japanese version of Times Square in Tokyo. So with thousands of people flying past him, I thought, well, how pretentious.
Yeah.
You know, all that is, let's just look at me, everyone. Look at me.
Yeah.
I can go om in front of lots of people moving past and flashing lights. It's like, that's what it's all about.
It's not like that would be a really relaxing place to try and meditate.
I wouldn't think. But even the way, why would you, you know, other than to show off? There's no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's the transcendence in that? And a lot of that's the same with film, though, you know? But it's also that joy of collecting and the finding the hidden gem camera and the weird roll of film. There's all this unpredictability of it as well. Yeah, they'll have to test cameras that maybe have the whole thing about the light leaks.
Yeah.
If a camera's got a light leak, it's different. It's unpredictable. Therefore, it's interesting.
Are you calling one of our key listeners pretentious?
Oh, I'm doing one.
Adam's been shooting some film of late.
Yeah, look at him.
I don't know how to respond to that.
But, you know, see Adam, let's get Adam to reply to this.
Okay.
Get Adam to tell us why he shoots. Because Adam's not young.
No.
Yeah, so he's not of that. He knows what delayed gratification is. I mean, it's called trying to get a job and no one will employ him. But why is Adam shooting film? Because he's got to take that cost into account as well. And if you're, if you're not loaded with cash, that's always a factor as well. So, Adam, let's get your viewpoint. And any listener who shoots film, just, whilst I'm right, 100%, I might not be. Yeah, it's just an opinion, and like a-holes, everyone's got one.
Yeah.
But is it, what are the motivations? What are the other reasons? I mean, genuine, not just, I just like the feel of it, because I can emulate any type of film you want to in digital to almost exactly the same tone and look. So it's not, you can't give me feel. I can't see that on Facebook, your scan negative looking any different from my emulated Fuji Superior 200 style.
Preset, yeah.
Yeah, so why? What are the reasons we're using and vinyl as well? There's a
mate. I love my vinyl.
Well, as you
love it.
Why?
It
does it force you to slow down?
Yes, but it's also a sonic. It's also a sonic thing. It is also a sonic thing. I'm serious.
I believe you because you know a whole lot more about that than I do. But
yep. When I've here in my home studio, I have a small mixer, and I did up until about a month ago have the turntable in the studio where I'm now recording. These days it's down in the lounge room. But when it was here, I was able to queue up an MP3 out of my music collection and put on vinyl of the same track and get them playing essentially, side by side, from the same point. And I could just, flip faders and listen between the vinyl and the MP3.
Yeah.
And it's not a width thing. It's more like a front to back depth thing.
So it's a length, not a width.
Yeah. It's really weird to try and explain.
Opposite to everything I've always been told, but still. width is more important than length, but still. Anyway. Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If you didn't have that to listen to.
Oh, yeah, if you didn't have the opportunity to do an A-B comparison.
If camera A or lens brand, let's say a Canon top-of-the-range lens versus Tamron comparison, and there's 5% or 10% difference in quality between the two, unless you compare the two side-by-side through magnifying glasses, you'll never know the difference.
Absolutely.
So that's the same with sound.
Yeah.
I mean, you put me in front of a $20,000 sound system and a $1,000 sound system, it's going to sound about the same to me.
Yeah. Probably.
Realistically, you know.
Probably.
But I understand. I mean, I grew up with vinyl too. I understand vinyl. I like the tactileness of vinyl. I love the tactile experience of reading the cover and having, you know, text that's actually large enough to read.
Definitely.
but to me, it's very much, you can't skip tracks easily. You can't just press a button and jump through 50 tracks until you find the one you want.
Exactly.
So it slows you down and makes you appreciate music more. So I certainly understand that side of things.
Yep.
And I believe that's also very much why the younger people enjoy that too.
Yeah.
But a guy I know, a guy called Stan Harrison, who's a sax player in the US, plays for Springsteen and a whole bunch of other people.
Okay.
He put this on his Facebook yesterday. I thought it was kind of apt. It's not completely absurd to posit the idea that part of the allure of playing a vinyl LP is the sensual experience of inserting a stiff stylus into a gyrating groove.
Okay.
It's also not completely absurd to posit the idea that anyone finding it impossible to imagine the first possibility probably went through puberty listening to Yanni on cassette. Which I thought was highly amusing. The best thing I saw on Facebook yesterday.
So. Nice. Anyway. Dear. So what do you got on your list? Oh, hang on. There's one last thing that I had to mention, and that was that I posted on the Sony users group on Facebook that I was heading overseas in a couple of months and that I was looking for a backup solution, that I would not be taking a laptop, but I would just be taking a Samsung Galaxy Tab S tablet.
Yeah.
And did anyone know of another potential thing that I could look at that would have a CF card reader for those people who are still shooting a Sony camera with a CF slot, as well as a USB hub, and that you could access both ports simultaneously.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, but who should reach out but none other than David Oestler, who...
He's a lovely guy.
He is. And he said to me, he's down your way.
I know, David. I'm
going to say. And he said, mate, you're more than welcome to borrow my ColorSpace UDMA 2 device to take with you if you're happy to pay the postage both directions. And basically, this is a little gadget about the size of a VHS video cassette, maybe a little bit smaller, with a card slot in it and a hard drive inside it and a small user interface screen on it. So basically, you don't have to have any other device. You can just put your card into the slot on the side and copy all the files across to the hard drive internally. And yeah, so I may very well take David up on that offer. So
why not? Lovely offer.
Thank you, David. I really appreciate that.
A fabulous, generous man.
Yes.
Yeah, I love little community stuff like that.
Yeah. Yes.
It just makes my day.
Yeah. So what do you got on your list?
Nothing.
Oh.
No, Adam's got, what's this? Adam's got this Tamron.
Yes, Adam's got some stuff.
That's it. Yeah.
So the first one that Adam sent was Tamron.
Just before we go on, because my battery did run out last week.
Yes.
And I didn't get a chance to pick on DP Review for the Tamron demonstration photos.
Yeah.
If you put the link up last week, and if you haven't gone and looked at it, go and look at it. Look at the first photo up there of some dog standing in the water. One of the worst photos you will ever see.
It was atrocious.
To demonstrate the hottest, most exciting new lens that Tamron had put out for a while and that people are raving about. And these people who get prior access to the latest stuff to review for these companies put out literally dog's breakfast like that.
It was a shocking image.
And that's the lead-off image for their article. And it's like, my iPhone would do a better shot than that. And you would know no difference what it was taken with. It was just crap.
It was.
I reckon we should, people should start complaining. You know?
Yeah.
If you're going to take on, and certainly the agents, the people who make this stuff should complain. Yeah, hey, DP Review, Mr. Fuji example, we've got this new GFX. It's a $10,000 camera.
Yeah.
Who's going to do the demo photos of the pre-release one we're going to give you? Because we'd like some early, really excitement about this product. So we want people to be taking images that actually have some excitement behind it.
Why?
Not some guy's dog standing in the bloody side of the water.
Why can't they give those cameras to some of the high-profile, on social media type photographers,
Well, they do, but the problem is they also have to get into sites like this, is where when a new product's announced, this is the sites for people to go to straight away to see all the technical stuff.
I just don't understand.
The photographer's not going to do... Like my mate Ken Kamineski,
yeah.
He had the Fuji before it was released.
Yeah.
Took it to Iceland. Nice. So as soon as it was unveiled, he could then start showing the photos he was taking with it.
Yeah.
You know? So they do that. But, you know, he has a million followers, you know.
Yeah.
DP Review gets that in 2 hours.
Yeah.
On their website or whatever. So you can understand why they do it. It's just like, can't there be some sort of collaboration there, you know? Can't they say, let's hook up some good photographers to provide images for you?
That's the thing. Like, if the website is that successful and has that kind of engagement and reach, surely they've got enough coin that they could employ someone with half an eye.
Just terrible. Just terrible. Anyway. Yeah.
So back to Adam's story. Tamron versus Nikon, which 70 to 200 f2.8 telephoto lens is best for the money? You don't even have to go to the link to know what the end result of that headline's going to be. Best for the money? Of course it's going to be Tamron.
Yeah, that's half the price.
Exactly. And it's going to be a hell of a lot better than only half as good as the Nikon, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is three. Yeah, if the other one's three times better, is it worth twice as much?
What?
Well, if the Nikon's three times better, is it worth twice as much? If it's three times sharper and three times better built, is it worth twice the price?
Yes, it would be, but it's not.
It's not. That's the problem. Yeah. So when it comes to Tamron, I think they have an absolute winner with their new 70-200 DI, VC, G2, ABC, DEFG lens. Not only is it designed really well, but it's also extremely sharp. Oh, it does really well with fast focusing. And that's some of the best image stabilization found in any lens, period. If you're on a budget and spending the extra $300 is just out of your reach, buy the Tamron. God, if it's only $300 difference,
Glyn does Celez Patterson.
This makes this bloke's conclusion. I don't know Les Patterson. I couldn't tell you. I've got a feeling this is how this bloke talks. I can hear it when I read his words.
You don't know Celeste Patterson.
I don't see any reason to buy the older Nikon when I can buy this lens right here. Bloody marvellous.
For anyone outside of Australia.
The answer to the question is, and this is an article, buy this Tamron.
For anyone outside of Australia who doesn't know the character Celeste Patterson, just go to YouTube and go to YouTube and search it up and have a listen to it and then come back and have a listen to what Glyn was just doing again. Oh, dear. Anyway, the next story, not so humorous, that Adam sent in was the story of a Jewish photographer who managed to shoot rolls and rolls and rolls of film during the German occupation of Poland, I think it was, and managed to bury these rolls of film in his backyard until after the war. And I don't know if they've only just surfaced or if they've been in circulation for a while, but pretty horrific stuff.
Well, I don't think they are, frankly.
Well, they weren't as gruesome as I was expecting.
But no, but I mean, if you don't know anything about, look, let's just take the image as an image. Let's forget the story.
Yep.
Because I understand the emotiveness and the sensitivity of the story, trust me.
Yep.
But if someone just showed you a picture, a la the first one, of a guy and his woman smiling with a mirror behind them.
Yeah, they're not actually that bad.
Well, there's nothing there.
No.
There's a guy walking across it. Okay, now he's got the yellow star on his back. So there's a bit of an identifier there to Germany. So I'll give that one.
Yeah.
Some kid looking, he's got like a pot and he's got around some dirt. Well, he could be panning for gold. He could be rich. Nothing there. A guy walking down past a broken down, destroyed building of a synagogue.
Yep.
But once again, there's no
in the snow.
Anything. Yep. It could have been an earthquake. There's no, there's photos themselves. Because I mean, what gets my goat is the article is these and they'll break your heart.
Yeah.
Well, but the photos, they don't break your heart.
No.
But the story does.
Yes.
The story is very, very powerful, but the photos aren't heartbreaking.
No.
Yeah, or the ones that they're showing anyway.
Yeah.
They're just photographs. Yeah, there's one there of that all the food pails and dishes left behind by ghetto restaurants who've been deported to death camps. Well, once again, horrendous, but take that photo out of that context, it's just a bunch of pots and pans.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean anything to anybody. Yeah. So yeah, it's only when we can put context and we don't know if this is actually true or not. I mean, we don't without knowing what the, someone telling us what the story of that image is,
yeah,
it can't have any power to us.
Yeah.
So I guess it shows just how important
there are other pages to that article. There's seven pages of images, and some of them are a little bit gruesome. But I absolutely agree with everything you've just said.
I guess the point is that the word is so important still around an image. An image by itself, unless the story is extremely succinctly clear. And this is something I'm always trying to say to my customers. You know, if you're trying to tell a story, and this guy wasn't necessarily, he was just taking photos.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to tell a photograph, a story in a photograph, the whole story better be there.
Yeah.
In as few words as possible, so it's easy to understand.
Yeah.
Or over several images which tell the story. But once again, if it's over several images and one of those images get lost, the story falls apart.
Yeah.
So words are really important, as are images. But if you're going to take a photograph where you're trying to say something, you better bloody say it properly, because otherwise it just gets lost in translation.
Yeah. And the last one that Adam had is somewhat similar to the story we had last week of Instagram shadow banning business accounts. This was a question of quality over quantity. Does Instagram care? And the guy writing the article was saying that he had 6,500 followers on Instagram, but he noticed that his significant other, his girlfriend, was getting much more engagement and yet had a hell of a lot fewer people following her account. And so he grabbed a piece of software called Cleaner. And what this did was identified all of the accounts who were following him, but who had not engaged with him within 6 months, and allowed him to just kick them all off and prevent them from following his account. And what that did was reduced the number of people who were following his account, and that meant that the engagement with the images that he posted actually went up as a percentage of followers.
Yeah, followers, yeah.
And because of the increase in engagement as a percentage, he started to find that people who were occasionally engaging with his content were engaging a lot more because they were seeing it a lot more in their feeds.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very interesting.
That's very clever.
Yeah. Yeah. So just goes to show the total count is maybe not the be-all and end-all of Instagram. And he does raise that very question right at the end of the article. You know, what's more important? Is it number of followers or is it engagement?
Well, I'll take number of followers, thanks. I like to feel loved.
You're not shallow at all.
Moi?
What do you got on your list?
Well, finally, a decent filter system.
Yeah?
The best filter system I've seen.
Right.
From a company called STC.
Yeah?
And they've just brought out a six-stop neutral density filter.
Ooh.
But what's so good about it is it clips on inside your camera just in front of your sensor.
Wow.
So you doesn't have to go on. So you only need one filter for every lens you've got.
Wow.
Those lenses like my 15 to 30 with a big curved front element that doesn't hold a filter, you can still use your filters with it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome. They've got a range of clip filters that clip in.
That's awesome.
Isn't that fabulous?
That's the kind of thing that you go, why didn't someone think of this sooner?
Exactly.
Wow.
And the technology might not have been there, who knows what, but I thought, well, that's pretty darn bloody clever.
But even more so is that you've absolutely eradicated any possibility of light leak.
Yep.
Yeah, wow. And $90 a hit. That's pretty cool.
Well, it is compared to, you know, if you have to buy one filter, if you got six lenses, it covers all of them.
Yeah. Wow.
Bloody clever.
So is that on the market, or is it sort of still a product in development, or what?
So what you're asking is if I've done enough research to know that answer.
Okay, we'll skip that.
So
you're
saying to me? they're on their website to buy.
Wow.
So they have between $90 and $185 the price is.
Wow.
Mounting and removing the clip filter is quick and easy. Stainless steel, virtually non-magnetic and less brittle at low temperatures.
Wow.
It's got nano anti-smudge coating, build excellent performance on waterproof and greaseproof, which makes no sense. So it obviously only works on certain cameras, so it's a little click here Which cameras does it work? Is paid, not found.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, well, that particular one.
Oh, no, it loaded for me.
They've got astro filters, neutral density filters, infrared filters, UV infrared cut filters. So they've got it's not like a broad range, but obviously the neutral density is going to be the most appealing.
Yeah.
I would imagine. And yeah.
They do a 6 and a 10 stop.
There you go.
Oh, hang on. Sorry. No, these are their circular screw on ones. I'll have to dig deeper to find their. Wow, anyway, that's great.
For nothing else, okay, this is for Canon, by the looks of it at the moment, or this particular page is for Canon full-frame cameras.
Okay.
By full-frame, we mean 35mm sensor, but anyway. But I thought that blew my mind. I thought that was just fabulous, anyway, regardless. But they've got a YouTube video showing one of the filter being put on, and it's onto a Nikon camera, so obviously they've got them for those.
Yeah, well, at the end, it says a full list of compatible Nikon, Canon, and Sony full-frame and Canon APS-C bodies is available on the STC Optical website.
Oh, not for me, it wasn't, but still.
So I managed to get their website to open up, but in that first click through that I went through, I ended up on a circular screw on filter. So I'll have to dig a little deeper and find out where that page is. But yeah,
definitely worth more research. That's a job for you to do.
Totally, that's exciting.
I thought it was. I thought it was very, very cool. I thought it was the best thing I've seen in a little while.
Yeah.
Then I found something for you. We can show everyone, but it's probably only you that's going to interest. Right. It's an article explaining what your computer does when it rotates a photograph.
Right.
What's involved, what the process... I didn't have to look any further because I was already bored.
Yeah.
But I figured for you...
Because that's going to be math heavy, yeah.
So this is even in bracket. Warning, math incoming. There we go. For image editing nerds. See, I saw all this stuff, I thought of you straight away.
Of course you did.
For image editing nerds, this demo was pretty fascinating. There we go. Bruce. So there you go.
I will check it out, mate, and I'll report back next week.
You're two jobs now.
Give you all the goss.
Then I came across a depolarizing filter.
A depolarizing?
So click on this. It's fascinating. It's a x4 depolarizing filter with glare-enhancing technology.
What? Okay,
so it adds. It makes your photos brighter.
Hang on. April 1, 2017.
So it wasn't April Fool's Day, but it was a classic. I thought it was just brilliant. Yeah. A depolarizer. Glare enhancing technology.
That's awesome.
Not only increase existing visible glare in a scene, but select the precise amount of additional glare desired.
Love it. That's from the guys at Breakthrough Photography.
Yeah.
Who I've interviewed in the past.
I love that. That was very awesome. I was impressed with Three-Legged Thing this week.
What is Three-Legged Thing?
It's a tripod company.
Oh, okay. Of course it is.
Yeah, heard of it. They're innovative people. Well, they've come out with a thing called Project Icarus.
Okay.
Which is still working on. But they're helium-filled tripods.
Right. With wax wings.
We've taken our award-winning Equinox and Eclipse series design, hermetically sealed it, filled it with British helium, and added pressure valves at the feet and base of the central column to enable a balanced, neutrally buoyant tripod to suit any occasion.
Is this another April Fool's joke?
Yeah. With a weight of just minus 11.3 kilos, because will assist in carrying the rest of your gear.
Nice.
Holding up their backpack. It's very funny. I thought that was kind of cool. And that was it for me. I had one moderately interesting article and some jokes.
Nice. That's great. Excellent.
We're done. You got some homework to do?
Yes. All right, mate. We will talk with you next week.
And yes, you will.
See you, mate.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. All right. Let's hear from David Marland. What do you got for us this week, David?
Thanks, Bruce. Today, I'm looking at a couple of travel pictorial books. Not so much for the books themselves, but rather the different styles they represent. In this case, they happen to involve the same author. Firstly, why did I purchase the books? Well, I don't know about you, but in my case, when I travel, it doesn't matter what time of year I get. I get lousy weather. And by lousy weather, I mean wall-to-wall, low cloud, snow, fog, that sort of thing. Not the greatest for landscape shooting. When it clears a bit, I take advantage. But because I'm on a schedule and only visit somewhere once, it's nice to purchase a bit of backup. The photos in these sorts of books often show the sites you saw in much better condition or show you places that you missed out on, which, if you do return, they're a pretty good resource for future planning. The first book is called New Zealand's Wild Places, and it's written by Craig Potten. Craig is a well-established New Zealand photographer, and in concept, it's a standard photography book of New Zealand. It's found at the better newsagents and bookshops in New Zealand, alongside many similar books. The photographs in this book, to my eye, are uniformly of high quality and depict parts of New Zealand I have seen, but from angles, seasons, and times of day that I can't achieve. There are photos of places I have not seen, but perhaps I'd better describe them as places I'm yet to see. The second book is called New Zealand, Eye on the Landscape, and features the work of a wide range of members of the Photographic Society of New Zealand. The photographs in this book have been selected by Craig Potten and his publisher. Again, the selection of photographs is superb, but here there's often more than one photograph of a particular case, and the interpretations are boldly different. I found this book really inspirational, and there are less of the aerial photography shots than the other book had, but the weather and time of day that has been selected for them is superb. Unfortunately, when I last looked at this particular book in large format, it was really difficult to get, but that's not the point of this review. If you find yourself travelling and want to pick up a book like either of these, take your time and look really carefully, because there may well be a real gem hidden in front of your eyes with the multitude of books in the bookstore. Cheers.
Excellent. Thank you, David. All right, well, that will do it for another week. Until we speak with you again, take care.
ShutterZincPodcast.com.
Another AudioTeer.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZincPodcast.com.